What's going on, Boiler Nation? It's Thursday night. It's March 14th, 2024. A brand new episode of the Boiler Breakdown podcast streaming live on the Boiler Breakdown Facebook page, X channel, and YouTube channel. Please hit that follow, hit that like, hit that subscribe, hit that notification bell if you're on YouTube, if you haven't already, so you know every time we are going live and you don't miss an episode. And if you're listening to the Boiler Breakdown podcast on your favorite podcast platform, please hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. Give us a rating and review. We really appreciate it. With all that said, I'm Tanner Lee, co-host Evan Webb in the house after taking a one-week break. Webby, how we doing?
Doing well, man. Happy Pi Day.
Happy Pi Day, yes. 3.14.
Uh-huh. Which favorite pie?
Strawberry.
Strawberry?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
It's become a new favorite of mine, I'd say, within the past 5 years. My aunt brought it to 4th of July about 5 years ago, and myself and a good friend of our podcast, I won't call him out, we ate the whole thing by ourselves. Little did we know, we thought she made two of them. She made one. From then on, she would make two every year. So, yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, but I like a lot of I like apple pie. I like sugar cream pie.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a pumpkin pie guy, though.
I like it. It's, again, like I'll have it like...
Gotta be in the mood. Gotta be in
the mood. Thanksgiving. I'll have it at Christmas sometimes. Yeah. But like, I'm good. That's the only time I ever have it. I'm good with it.
Yeah, but, favorite? What's your favorite type of pie?
There's between two. It really depends. I'd probably say apple. Yeah. But I love a lemon meringue pie.
Ooh, I don't think I've ever had that, but sounds good.
Yeah, that was something that my grandma every like for my birthday or even like family events, like probably when I was like a teenager until I became an adult, she would always bring one just for me at every family event. So
love it.
Shout out to grandma for buttering me up.
Yeah, I like lemon flavored things, so sounds pretty good. But now I'm hungry. Thanks, Webby. I don't think we have any pie. I'm almost positive we don't have any pie. So we did it one time, but I think I ate it all in the freezer. But with that said, the Boiler Breakdown, we are proud to be the Purdue football and basketball affiliate for Big Banter Sports. Big Banter Sports, of course, just like it sounds, is the home to every Big Ten school's podcast, or a podcast of every Big Ten school, I should say, including the four that are joining us next year. I know USC's on board. I believe UCLA. Did I see something about that? Or did I?
I might have missed that.
Maybe I saw something else. But with that said, it's been fun to get to know those representatives of the other Big Ten schools a little bit, banter with them, no pun intended, a little bit. And look, we might be appearing on a show or two here in the near future. So I know it is Big Ten tournament week. Officially March Madness next week with NCAA tournament. So a lot of fun things going on. And with all that said, we got a big announcement for March Madness. We're excited to be working with Autograph. Autograph is co-founded with Tom Brady himself, by Tom Brady himself, I should say. Autograph app is where your fandom lives. The app gives diehard fans like myself, like Evan, like Andrew, like all you listening or watching this podcast, access to all the best college sports content, fan challenges, and exclusive rewards like crazy discounted tickets, exclusive merchandise, and more. You can unlock rewards like these just for doing the things you already do as a fan, like listening to this podcast right here, following news on your team, sharing your favorite content, and more. Download the free Autograph app in the Apple App Store or the Google Play Store if you have an Android, and use the referral code BREAK. That's an all lowercase BREAK. That's referral code BREAK. See you at the game. We are pumped to have them on board for the next, hopefully almost month through April 8th. Let's put it that way. So.
Yeah, I mean, it really is like...
It's cool.
It's really cool because I'd seen it. You know, I'd see some other Purdue, you know, podcasts kind of posting about it. And I think when Tom Brady announced it, I kind of saw it, but I didn't really look into it all that much. Same. And then when we were approached with this, I had to obviously check it out. And I mean, literally, like, if you listen to podcasts, if you read stuff, like, it's got all of it in one spot.
Right there, so,
like,
your fingertips. Yep.
Versus, like, switching apps or making sure you're, you know, are you subscribed to one of these apps? Like, I mean, I'm looking at it right now, the podcast one under Purdue, and we've got, you know, Broilers in the Stands, Bowl of Sports, Broilers and Beyond, Old Goat Show, So like if you I mean, I listened to all those already, so like you just now you've got them all in one spot, and then you can move over to the feed and seeing, you know, news articles, tweets from Boiler Ball, like literally all in one spot. So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And all you gotta do is listen to podcasts, read content, you get rewards.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get things, like we said, like merchandise and discount tickets. And they're going to have a lot of awesome promotions going on with the discount tickets for March Madness. And we will tell you more about one of those later on in this podcast. So, but Webby, the regular season is over.
It's crazy.
In one way, it feels like it's been a while. And in another way, it feels like the season just started.
Yeah, I was thinking about it today. Or just the other day, because I saw someone posting about Samford beating, I think, when they won their tournament. I was like, dang, that was the first game of the season. You know, Purdue beat them by 53, and that team is a really good team, obviously. Yeah. But I was like, man, that feels like not that long ago, but also it feels like forever. Like January, like games in January both feel like yesterday and also 4 months ago.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And same thing with Morehead State. They made the tournament too, and we beat them back in November or December. I can't remember which month exactly. I want to say November. But they're a good team as well. So, it's going to be an interesting next couple of days as these conference tournaments wind down. Within the Big Ten, haven't really seen any upsets yet, except the latest game, I guess. It just went final. 10-seeded Ohio State beat 7-seed Iowa.
Before the game, anyways, the line was in Ohio State's favor. So, I mean, is it really considered an upset? It is by seed line, I guess. But
yeah.
One team had been playing really well. One hadn't. But yeah, that's the first one we've seen.
Yeah, Iowa definitely stumbled. If they could have beat Illinois over the weekend on Sunday and then won the game against Ohio State tonight, maybe they would get on the right side of the bubble, but I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're not getting in now. So there's one more game tonight, Indiana and Penn State. And then we'll know all the matchups for the quarterfinals tomorrow. But we already know Purdue's matchup, and that's going to be their second matchup of the season with the Michigan State Spartans, who defeated Minnesota Golden Gophers earlier today. But before we do that, let's talk about Senior Day a little bit. You and I both had the luxury of being there.
First game all year, both of us have been there.
Yes. And I tried to get over to see you at halftime.
Yeah,
it was packed. My wife had to go to the restroom. That took a little while. Of course, you know, lady restrooms are usually pretty packed. And the concourse at Mackey, I'd never seen that packed at halftime like it was on Sunday. I don't know why. I
didn't realize it was spring break. So, because when you told me your section, I'm like, I looked up, I looked at the numbers, and I was like, that's the paint crew. What's he doing up there? Like, and then I was like, then I realized, like, oh, the paint crew, the upper bowl is a lot of like, was sold because I forgot it was spring break.
The olds, as we were called, the olds.
Yeah, the lower bowl was students. Because I was like, man, they only gave t-shirts to the lower bowl students. Like, that kind of sucks. But then I was like, oh, wait. I was seeing some people like, those definitely aren't students. So I think when you throw that in there, because usually, I mean, I remember when we were students, like not always going out in the concourse, a lot of students stay in their seat. Especially being first come first serve. That always throws a wrench in things when you've got a lot more people with families trying to go to the bathroom and get concessions. But yeah, it was crazy packed.
Well, and you know, I only went to three games this year. That's, you know, well, I'm still more than I went to last year. So I was glad to be able to go to three, but I guess that's a good problem to have. That means your team's having a lot of success. If tickets are hard to get and high price, but that's one thing I noticed at every game. I think, it seems like the rows are more packed in at Mackey this year than ever before. And then the concourses are just more packed to get around. And I wish they could space in it a little bit, but I know you don't really have the real estate to do so. So it is what it is. It is what it is. But I wouldn't trade the atmosphere for anything. Toughest place to play in the country, in my opinion. I know it's in your opinion as well. And Purdue took care of the Badgers by a score of 78-70, becoming only the fourth Purdue team all time to go undefeated in Mackey Arena for the regular season.
So the last one was the 2018-2019 team, right?
Yes, 18-19, yep.
Yep, and then was it 2010-2011, your freshman year?
Yep.
What was the one before that? I don't know the one before
that. It
was
late 1960s. I don't know if it was 67, 68, or 68, 69. Yeah, it was one of the Rick Mount teams.
It was the runner-up year.
Yeah, it was one of those two years. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's crazy. It's only been four times. But I
know.
Big Ten, there's always been some historically good team in the Big Ten every year. So not especially back when you played every team twice before you had unbalanced scheduling. But yeah, it was. I mean, I mean, there's only a couple games really all year that it was even tight. I mean, obviously this Wisconsin game was a little tighter than we'd hoped. Michigan State was a little tight towards the end, and I guess Minnesota pretty kind of pulled out the end, and probably Illinois was probably the only one. So again, a lot of those games, like especially Illinois, like Purdue was up big and kind of held them off. I feel like in every game, Purdue was able just to kind of get a lead and then kind of just hold them at arm's length. Never really had to worry about, never got within like one possession or anything like that late in the game.
Yeah, and if you think about the last couple Purdue teams, of course, last year's team lost to Rutgers in a close one. Then Indiana came in and got the best of Purdue. Year before that, it was Wisconsin was the only team to beat Purdue.
It was the only one that year was Wisconsin. Yep. That was a Christmas break game, and Johnny Davis went off for like a million.
Yep. Year before that, Purdue lost one to Michigan, the bubble year. Year before that, we lost four, if not five home games that year.
So was that the year that Illinois kind of took it to us at home? They beat us by like
Illinois 30? Took it to us. Michigan took it to us. Pitt State took it to us. Rutgers beat us and Texas. So yeah. Five.
I remember. Yeah. I was at that Texas game. That was a tough one.
Five. Year before that would have been undefeated. Year before that, I think we only lost one, and it was Ohio State. Yeah.
Who was it who got the tipping on that one? It was
he made a D up.
Yeah, Kate made a D up. Box out, man.
Box out was probably a three-peat the Big Ten championships. Yeah. But
we only lost three games that year in the Big Ten and we got second.
Unreal. Yeah. But it's this team has been so fun to watch this year. And I feel like I say that a lot. Another reason why I feel like we're blessed to be Purdue basketball fans. Can't take it for granted because not every team has the culture Purdue does by any means. And while we really want to do good starting next week, and I get it, that's kind of where, real season matters. But at the same time, Big Ten championships mean things. Big Ten tournament championships even mean things, even though I've already seen people come out today like, if we lose tomorrow, Saturday, big deal. I get it, and the rest factor and everything. But there's a championship to win. I'd like to go get it because at least you get another trophy and a banner to hang. But the Wisconsin game, the game wasn't as close, I don't think, as the final score indicated.
No. Yeah, it was, I mean, it was kind of close at the beginning, and then Purdue kind of did what they did. They kind of flexed their muscles and kind of got a lead late in the first half. I mean, at halftime, it was 44-33. Purdue was up 11. And then they kind of built a nice little lead in the second half. And then, Wisconsin kind of came back a little bit towards the end. At the end, we had the walk-ons out there. So we had a 10-point lead, and it would have been a double-digit win had it not been for AJ Storr stealing it. And it
would have been cover, too, in Vegas.
Yeah. Like, it's Courtney Green, so we can't have that. overall, four of your five starters scored in double figures. Honestly, when I think back to that game, there was two instances, what I'm talking about, that kind of stole the show for the game. And that was Zach going down early in the first half. And then, Braden going down late in the first half, which I didn't, Braden happened right in front of you. I didn't see that he stepped on the official's foot. The way Zach went down, it looked really awkward from where I was sitting. And when he didn't pop right back up, it was like, oh my God. Braden went down. I couldn't even see him, so it was kind of hard to see where he was at. But the fact that he didn't get up, and then I saw him not be able to put weight on it, I was like, oh my God. All right, Thad, what we got here?
Thad Moody commenting on earlier to Kate's BD up tipping in the 17-18 season. I see your box out. I raise you. Don't one hand a rebound, Mr. Edwards. This close to a three-peat and Matt matching Gene with championships.
Yep.
I was worried about both times guys went down. Of course, I was on the end of the floor where Zach went down, and I thought he was going to get up. I mean, when he didn't at first, I'm like, okay. But then he got up, I'm like, okay, I think he's all right. And he kind of waved Painter off. That's why Painter didn't take him out right away. Braden's, I was like, because I was Zach, I'm like, then Braden's went down. I'm like, that's the one I got real nervous about because I'm like, especially for a guard.
Wasn't put a whole lot of weight on it. They took him right to the locker room. Like, that's when I was like, oh, crap.
I was too young to remember this, but, just being a Purdue fan our whole lives, I've kind of heard through Purdue lore about Juwan Cornell spraining his ankle his junior year, I believe, and then never being the same again the rest of his career through senior year, like never get back to that level. I'm like, oh, yeah. God, if he sprained his bad, really bad, could Braden never be the same player? Those are the negative thoughts that were going through my head. And luckily, he came back in the first half itself. And then Matt earlier this week, when he addressed both guys, said they're fine. So,
yeah. Yeah, I was a little worried because I know sometimes, like, with ankles, they're really weird. Like, if you sprain it, thankfully, I've never had, even playing basketball, I never really had to worry about a really bad sprain. One of our friends, like, he sprained his ankle really bad in freshman year, and he was probably one of the best athletes in our school, and then he was never the same after that, how badly he did it. Where was I going with this? usually when you keep your shoe on, all that, it usually can work itself out. But then, like, when you take your shoe off, that's when it really swells up. So I was like, the next couple of days after that game, I was like, just please, nothing bad come out. Didn't want to go on the boards and see Brian Newbert post a thread with one of the players' names and then have to open it up and see bad news. But thankfully, it seemed like they're okay.
Yeah, and thankfully they got cleared till tomorrow, Friday, to rest. So they've had all week kind of rest. But that is one thing that makes you a little nervous about conference tournament playing potential back-to-back-to-back games.
Mm-hmm.
And I understand NCAA tournament, at least most weeks, you got to get game, then a rest, then a game. So I get it, close there too. But just is what it is. That's tournament basketball. Things like that can happen, unfortunately. But in the end, Purdue pulls out, like I said, 78-70. Looking at some team stats here, Purdue shot a higher clip than Wisconsin. Purdue's 26 for 53 for 49.1%. Wisconsin was 27 for 62 for 43.5%, 43.5%. Wisconsin was 5 for 24 for three-point art. Nothing like they did today against Maryland. They were ripping nests left and right. 20.8%. Purdue was 9 for 18 for 50%. Free throws, Purdue was a nice, solid 81%, 17 for 21. Wisconsin was 78.6%, 11 for 14. Purdue out rebound Wisconsin 38-31. Assists, Purdue really put it on Wisconsin 21-10. Purdue had 3 blocks, Wisconsin 0. Wisconsin did have 11 steals. Mm-hmm. Purdue had 5. Purdue had 13 turnovers. Wisconsin 8.
14.
Box was 13. So I'm going with yours then, 14. That's getting in that dangerous category, that dangerous area number.
Yeah, I think we're, because I mean, that's kind of like, I mean, I know people want to talk about last year and all that stuff, but I think, like, with this team, and it's been said, you know, to get beaten like a drum, but, like, the key to this team to losing games, or I guess not losing games, is don't turn the ball over and don't turn the ball over excessively and don't give up easy fast break points. So if you look at, I mean, Northwestern turned it over a ton. Nebraska turned it over I think it was like 12 turnovers, but Nebraska had like 20 plus points off of turnovers or something stupid like that. Whereas this game, Purdue had 14 turnovers, but Wisconsin only had 4 fast break points. So I think that was big. They did have 17 points off turnovers. So, I mean, obviously not a great number for Purdue, but I think where Purdue was able to kind of stem that counterbalance that turnovers was the fact that they shot 50% from three and made 9 of them. So, I mean, as long as, so that's really, really key. If Purdue's turning the ball over, we better hope to get their on fire from three, because it's going to take a lot to overcome those turnovers. So
No doubt at all. The Big Ten tournament this year's in Minneapolis. So this is only the third time I believe it's only the third time that hasn't been in either Chicago or Indianapolis. Those other two times were Washington, D.C. in 2017, then New York City in 2018.
Never been like elsewhere, like especially in the early days. I mean, it makes sense it was in Chicago, especially being the headquarters, but then Indy's obviously an incredible host city. But I'm surprised it didn't go to like Detroit or something at least one time.
I think that's probably on the horizon. I think we're going to see it in L.A. eventually one year. With the addition to the 4 Western schools. And then I could see Detroit won it one year, you know, Pittsburgh or Philadelphia maybe, because you got Penn State out there. But then where do you stop? Because then Seattle, Cleveland. I don't know where you stop. But I've always liked the Chicago-Indianapolis rotation. I really liked it when it was in Indy for 5 straight years. Back in the late 2010s or late 2000s.
Yeah.
I thought that was perfect, but we're of course Indy bias being Indiana residents, but I don't know. I'm just very curious to see what the crowd sizes are going to be. I got to think Wisconsin's probably going to have the biggest crowd tomorrow.
Yeah.
Just by proximity. I don't know. I hope Purdue shows out well.
Yeah. I mean, you wonder especially like science game, Penn State versus Indiana. I mean, as my wife was saying before the game, she goes, well, we know Penn State doesn't travel to their own games. So they're definitely not going to travel to
100%. You know?
But she's like, I'm not even sure if Indiana fans will show up. I mean, maybe they show up, if they win a couple games, but right. This first round it was like, it's hard Thursday night and all that. And the travel's tough. Like,
yeah,
obviously if it was in Indianapolis or Chicago, they'd have a really good contingent there, but that's a far way to go.
Ray Davis here on Facebook says, don't turn the ball over and not be able to set your defense. Very key in postseason.
Mm-hmm.
100%. 100%. Yeah. When Purdue doesn't turn over the ball, they are very hard to beat.
I mean, like it was the Rutgers game. We didn't turn the ball over. We didn't shoot well, but we were still able to grind out the games as we didn't beat ourselves. So yeah, that's the key.
So tomorrow we kick off the quarterfinals noon on the Big Ten Network facing Michigan State Spartans. Second time we faced them this year, beat them by, 8 points or 9 points the first time?
Let's see. It was six points.
8-74. Okay. But this is a team Purdue's had a lot of success against, particularly home the last decade, but particularly anywhere last 5 years, including 2 years ago in the Big Ten tournament. Purdue beat them in the semifinals to go to the finals, where they'd ultimately, unfortunately, lose to Iowa. How are you feeling about this going into tomorrow? I watched a little bit of the Minnesota-Michigan State game today, and after the weird missed dunk stuck ball and rim thing by Minnesota, which I'd never really seen, Michigan State kind of went on a run, never looked back.
Yeah, I never feel good about the Big Ten tournament. especially like the playing team who played the day before, I feel like is, at least at the start, one team, I'm sure there's arguments for both sides of the team who hasn't played yet might start off a little slow. But also does the team who played the day before, do they have tired legs? I don't think that's really a factor until maybe you get into like a team on Thursday gets to Saturday or something along those lines, or like last year, Penn State going all the way to Sunday. Michigan State, they've got some talent. Obviously you got to watch out for Tyson Walker.
Sure.
Him and Hogard combined for 32 points tonight. They didn't shoot. I guess as a team, they shot well from three, only 5 of 8, but obviously they'll be wanting revenge, and somehow they're on the right side of the bubble, even though they have a pretty mediocre record. But obviously beating, the number three team in the country definitely leaves no doubt in terms of their place in the NCAA tournament. So, it should be a good game. We've battled with Michigan State all throughout the Big Ten tournament history, so I expect something different.
I believe we're 5.5-point favorites. Is the line I'm seeing?
See that? Yeah, which seems about right.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping to get Minnesota just because that would mean Michigan State might be on the outside looking in the NCAA tournament. Now I think with that win, I think they are in the tournament. Ray here on Facebook says, will Michigan State have the ability to be physical back-to-back days?
That's a good question. You do wonder, the last matchup, they did a really good job, at least for a minute, of putting Xavier Booker out there, and he was able to hit a couple threes. When they're going to do the same thing tomorrow, then he went away from it. And then, he couldn't hold his own against Zach in the post on defense, but so it kind of probably evens itself out there. But you wonder if they're going to play ED any different, but history would say
they never have.
We keep wanting to go.
Averages damn near 30 points per game against them.
Yeah. So, and what is he at now? He's getting close to Mount. I think he's like within like 50, or is it? He's within.
I think 70. He's under.
Or is it? He's like. Or is it like 40 something? I don't even know.
Where could we go to find out? You got it. I think he's definitely closing in. He's definitely closing in. I feel okay about it. 41 points away. Thank you, Thad.
I thought I read 40. That seems like, wow, that's crazy. I mean, so theoretically, two games.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, he could have it by, I mean, very easily could have it by the end of the weekend if we Purdue this, which is wild. But,
and I think we've talked about this, or I think Andrew and I did last week, and maybe we have on a previous podcast, but how do you feel about these records, you know, given that, you know, Mount back in the day didn't have a three-point line, didn't play as many games. How do you feel about records just in sports in general, really?
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to keep happening. I mean, with the way that, you know, things are expanding, as Ray says, I believe, is it a double more than usual? We'll see. He'd like, I mean, you'd think he would, but he's also stubborn, it seems like. I mean, yeah, we're just going to see it more and more. I mean, you see it in the NFL all the time now of, you know, just the way the game's changed and passing records will be broken, or at least, I mean, like, you can't talk about, you know, you talk about in other podcasts, like, in talking about like Dan Marino and Patrick Mahomes, it's a completely different sport now, than what it was back then. I mean, you talk about like Bowie Break, Western Dog scoring record, and he's playing for his 800th year. I mean, it's nice to see that Zach, you know, if he does it, well, he's only played 4 years, which is, I mean, obviously, then you have the caveat of Rick only played three, didn't have a 3-point line, yada, yada. Now you can also put, you know, hey, Zach played, you know, his first 2 years were essentially, it was split time with Travion. And his first year, like the fact that he even played wasn't even supposed to happen because he was originally going to redshirt. I don't mind. I mean, I think obviously you can have, when you get into the discussion of like, you know, I mean, like best player of all time, that's where it gets really tough just because, like, right. Again, it's, you know, there's obviously the conversation of what, you know, how far they get in the tournament, you know, skill set, you know, obviously, you know, the way that Zach and the Big Dog, they impacted the game in very different ways, both dominated, but both very differently in how they did it. But I think at the end of the day, I mean, if you're having those conversations, it means the player is a pretty incredible player. So
he's got to be on the Mount Rushmore though, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, even if God forbid the Purdue does flame out in the first weekend, like I still think you put him up there just because of, I mean, back-to-back national player of the years is stupid. Rick says it would be interesting what each of their points per minute are. Yeah, it's interesting. There was a whole, like, I mean, it obviously was a topic of conversation when Caitlin Clark broke Pistol Pete's record for all time in the NCAA. It's like, well, you know, he only played 3 years and yada yada and didn't have a 3-point line, but it's like he also took, like, he averaged like 10 more shots a game than her and stuff like that, and like, or whatever it was.
I think it's 20 more.
It might have been 20 more. Yeah, there's, I mean, here's one
thing. Yeah, I think it was like 38 shots a game compared to 18 or something like that.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, the conversation of efficiency and
all
that kind of stuff. I mean, at the end of the day, it just makes for good podcast conversations.
But, it does.
The fact that Zach could be back-to-back National Player of the Years is just, I mean,
he will be.
Yeah, he will be. Yeah, reading Casey Bartley's article on Boiler Up, which is really good, kind of. It was not Casey. It was Mike Carmen on Golden Black, kind of retracing Zach's recruiting history. It's pretty crazy to read that and just kind of see. I mean, like, I remember again when he committed to Purdue, he was like he was our fourth option, like from what it seemed like. And it was like, oh, okay, we'll see. You know, he'll be good in like 3 years. We were right. He was a National Player of the Year in year three. Wouldn't think he's gonna be that good.
Well, looking back, how different would his career shaped out if Matt Harms didn't leave for BYU?
Yeah, does he even come to Purdue? Because, I mean, because originally, like, I always forget this too, but he was originally supposed to be a 2021 player, but he reclassified and came in 2020. So, yeah, you think about, like, you know, had he still done that, like, you know, he almost went to Baylor. Like, would he be a Baylor? He would have won a national championship. But, you know, his career could be very different.
And we saw Purdue unveil Zach Edey's All-American banner. Mm-hmm. I want to make that clear. His number is not retired.
Yeah, even though Purdue Painter.
Painter kind of said that. Yeah. Maybe they do that eventually, especially if Purdue wins it all. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, there's definitely like an unwritten rule, like right now, Purdue, like obviously no one wears 13.
Right.
Like, it's just kind of a thing. We'll be interested to see if Jakari can wear it next year. I mean, we'll see. I mean, if anyone's going to do it, like why not his son?
That would be cool. I didn't think
that'd
about
really
that.
Cool.
Yeah,
yeah, that'd be fitting. Really cool.
Because supposedly the hearsay said that Painter had always told Brandon Dawson, the Gary product, that he could wear 13 if he came to Purdue. That was the only player I'd ever heard of that was offered to. And he didn't. He went to Michigan State and became a thug. So
yeah. But yeah, I would imagine that 15 won't be worn in a Purdue for Purdue basketball for quite a while.
Yeah, Thad Mooney here. Caitlin Clark's 19 shots per game. Pistol Pete was 38. Wow. 600 more shots kind of evens out the one less year on varsity.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Whoever, if somebody does wear 15 again, they're going to have literally big shoes to fill of Zach Edey's. But did you like that? Did you like that they went ahead and did that?
Yeah, it was cool. I mean, I was wondering if they're going to have the, because obviously on those banners you have the year that they were an All-American. And I was like, are they going to have 24 on there? Like, are you going to presume that he's going to be an All-American? Like, and they did. It's like, oh, yep. he will be. But
it's yeah,
just,
oh, absolutely.
So it's just that, you know, little thought. I thought like when they did that, I had to turn around because I was like, wait, do they have the Big Ten championship one up already? Which they didn't. Which that'll be a
first
of the year next year thing. Sure. But I thought that was really cool and really cool. I wonder if Zach knew about it or if he had the wherewithal to look up and see up there like before the game or not. Like, yeah. I bet he did, but that was a pretty cool gesture for them to do that.
So was O Canada. That was a cool gesture.
That was really cool. I mean, you know, Zach's always had the Canadian flag stitched on the underside of his jersey, so he was cool. He kind of turned it inside out and pretty emotional, but that was a pretty cool. It was a really cool day.
Yep, it was. It was a cool day for Zach. Can't forget about Mason Gillis, Ethan Morton, Lance Jones, Carson Barrett, Chase Martin, all those guys. Always emotional day.
And the one guy who wasn't there, except it was Jaden Ivey, was part of this class too.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I know you love Jaden. I like Jaden. I know Jaden's your all-time favorite Boiler, but I don't think this team would be. I don't think this team would be as good if Jaden Ivey was on it. And I know that sounds weird. It'd be a completely different team.
Oh yeah, I was thinking about that actually today, just randomly. I was like, man, how different would things be if he happened to stay? Like, I was like, well, Zach definitely wouldn't be national player of the year, so he wouldn't have had as many touches. You know, we wouldn't have. I would almost guarantee we don't have Lance Jones. You wonder like the development of like a Fletcher Lawyer and all that kind of stuff, how that would be different.
Smith,
it was it just would be interesting, but it's crazy to think that that. What this class has produced.
Yep. Absolutely. One more question for you to kind of put you on spot, wrapping up the Zach Edey talk for now. We can't guarantee Edey doesn't come back up because, I mean, Zach Edey, he's the best player in college basketball. I want to know your Mount Rushmore, Purdue men's basketball. It's tough.
Yeah. I think three are really easy.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, Rick Mount, Big Dog, Zach. I think those three. Yes. I don't see how you can't leave one of those three off.
I think there's
I mean, obviously Rick Mount, all-time leading scorer.
Yep.
Got us to a Final Four. Got us to a national championship game.
Yep.
You throw in like first high school on Sports Illustrated, RIP. Sports Illustrated, not Rick Mount.
good clarification there.
Obviously, Big Dog, you know, the most dominant player in college basketball, number one overall pick. For whenever stupid back, you wonder what that team could have done. Obviously, Zach Edey, back-to-back national player of the year. He put Wooden. I've thought of that one. I mean, obviously, I don't know. I mean, obviously, he's the name, but I always wonder, like, is it just because of what he did as a coach? I mean, obviously, we got the Helms banner, whatever.
And he was a multi-time All-American.
He was, yes.
The game's different. The game's totally different. I get that.
Yeah.
Nobody really has footage of him. That's the thing.
I've never seen, like, aside from like the one, like there's the one where he's like throwing a pass. Like that's all I've got. And he's got a statue outside of Mackey, so there's that.
Yes.
You could throw Joe Barry Carroll again, got us to the Final Four, you know, second all time leading rebounder. Bobblehead. Number one overall pick again. That four spot is really, really tough.
Yeah.
Clarified. Great. Did not see play.
That's kind of where I was leaning was Joe Barry.
Yeah. I think I'd probably just like that's the, I feel like that's the most obvious answer. Personally.
All right. How about let's twist it to how about four in our lifetime?
Four in our lifetime. Okay. Four in our lifetime,
which I guess Glenn could still be on there. He's technically in our lifetime.
Yeah,
we didn't see him play.
Oh man, do I put Robbie on there? I think I might put Robbie on there.
I think I leave Robbie off.
Yeah. It's,
I think, because if we're going like in our lifetime, I go Glenn, I'm going Biggie.
Oh, sorry. I completely forgot about in our lifetime, like leaving Rick Mount off. So yeah.
Glenn, Biggie, Carson, and Zach would be Carson, my four.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, if we're saying of guys Biggie, we've seen play, then I replace Glenn with, then it gets tough.
Yeah.
Then it gets real tough because you have to throw Robbie in there. You have to throw Etwan on there.
Yeah. 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 I mean, if I just go back to the overall, like I may throw, I'd say probably Joe Barry or Biggie, as that fourth, just because again, like he just absolutely dominated college basketball that year.
Oh, Cardinal's a great player. I even think he got maybe Juwan Johnson over Cardinal just because Juwan was first team All American and Big Ten MVP. Oh, it's a good discussion. I mean, there's a lot of guys. I mean, it's a lot of, I mean, that's just, the riches of pretty basketball, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it's another yet frustrating thought to think about. You got all those good players and still haven't yet to get over the hump since 1980 to get to a Final Four, but hopefully this is the year. But going back to the Big Ten tournament, how are you feeling going into the Big Ten tournament? I mean, looking at how the bracket's shaping up so far.
Yeah.
How are you feeling with how Purdue's playing coming into it compared to even last year?
Yeah, I feel fine about how they're playing. This sounds bad, but yeah, I definitely don't. I'm not as like having as much stake in this as I did last year. Probably because we won it last year. And I have the thought of like, okay, the last three Big Ten champions didn't make it out of the first weekend. So do we, you know, all that kind of stuff. I think all that's just kind of, I don't think any of that really has any correlation. I mean, you could say like, you know, I don't know if it's like the tiredness, but I mean, Purdue got to the final game in 2022 and made the Sweet 16. Like, I mean, Iowa won and didn't make it out, but like Purdue played the same amount of minutes in that, you know, in that tournament, even though they lost the championship game. I mean, I like their side of the bracket. I mean, I'd love another shot at Nebraska.
That's what I would pick. Yep.
I mean, Northwestern, that could be a really good semifinal game, assuming they make it to Saturday.
And I've seen Wisconsin as the sexy pick for a lot of people.
Yeah, which I mean, I guess like after today, it makes more sense. But like coming into this week, I probably would have picked them to lose. I mean, I guess they played Maryland, so
yeah,
not a whole lot going on there.
But a disappointing season they had.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, if they keep playing like they did today, then sure. I could see Northwestern. You know, if they upset Purdue, I could see them getting to Sunday. But I think Michigan State's definitely a tough first draw just because of who's on that sideline.
Yep. A couple big upsets happened tonight in tournament play around country. NC State knocked off Duke 74-69, and Providence is 30 seconds away from knocking off Creighton.
Man, that was the Big East tournament was going to be interesting because obviously you would think that's going to be UConn and Marquette, but Marquette's without Tyler Kolek probably for the whole tournament. So you wonder how they're going to fare. You know, could UConn, you know, cakewalk through that thing now?
UConn,
I mean, Johns tomorrow.
I was going to say that place could be a rock for the Johnnies tomorrow.
Yeah. I mean, the Big 12 tournament. I know you picked Kansas to.
I had no idea. Two guys are going to be out. Blown
out by Cincy. Yeah, I mean, this is an awesome week. I think North Carolina is going to take care of the ACC. They're playing on, I think they could be the fourth number one. I think you got three teams kind of battling for that fourth spot of North Carolina, Tennessee, and Arizona. And Arizona, I think, is definitely the weakest out of the three. Definitely the weakest conference, that's for sure. Tennessee will have their work cut out for them. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, it's always a great week. It sucks seeing footage of like the one bid leagues of the teams who lose. It just, cause that's their championship is trying to make it to the dance.
Indiana State's not making it now.
You don't think? I saw him. He was in their last four. I was in last four in Lunardi's.
Today they fell to the very last team in of the last four. It's just too many other.
Yeah. Which sucks. You're going to have like some meet, like Villanova will get in or something. Yep. I mean, how would, you know, if you put Indiana State versus Villanova, like, you know, would Indiana State hang? I don't know.
Yeah.
But it just, what makes tournament awesome, as much as it sucks when you lose to them, is those mid majors.
Yep.
You know, coming in hot. You know, a 25 win mid major team as a 13 seed, 14 seed, upsetting a major Power Five conference, Power Six.
And either way you look at it, if you're pro Villanova making it or pro Indiana State, then there's going to be the argument of this is why it needs to be expanded. And no.
Yeah. God.
I guess if they have to do it, if they have to, four more teams of 72, I could probably live with. If we go up to like 96, I'm going to be
living. Yeah. Yeah. And again, and
then you're getting 500 teams in there that don't belong.
Yeah. You're getting the Iowas in there, which like
you're getting, it's like a participation trophy for everybody.
Yeah. It lessens the importance of the regular season. Mm-hmm. My thought, even a couple, I think if you don't even go 500 in your conference, you shouldn't even be eligible for the tournament. Like, especially if you're in a Power Five, like, cause we've seen it before, a team goes, 9-11, 8-12, but they got a couple good wins. Like, yeah, it's unfortunate, but.
Yep. Yep. Ray on Facebook, thoughts about Nevada's chances in the tournament. They play Colorado State tonight. That should be a good game. Yeah, I think they're pretty darn good. I'm afraid Purdue could see them in the bracket as 8 or 9, but I've seen other bracketologists have them as high as a 7
now.
So, and if they get through the Mountain West tournament, maybe they're definitely too high to be 8 or 9. But I don't want to see them in Purdue's bracket because not only do I think they're talented, not that I'm scared to play anybody as Purdue fans. I don't think we should be this year with this team, but we don't want the any type of Hoosier fan getting in there in Annapolis and rooting for Steve Alford. We don't want that at all. So
100%.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, they've been a good story. Been a good story for sure. Steve, I think he's at the perfect level for himself. I think he's a very good mid-major coach.
Mm-hmm.
He's tried to get it done. I mean, he's had a few moments of success at Iowa and UCLA, but for the most part, New Mexico and Nevada is where he's flourished as far as Division I. So, But Big Ten tournaments, let's go ahead and predict. Pitt State, Indiana is going on right now. Indiana's up 6-2 with 15 minutes and 47 seconds left in the first half. Who do you see ultimately winning that game?
Penn State starting out 1-for-7 from the field.
I do.
Yeah, I think Indiana gets it done, unfortunately.
I do too. It's hard to beat a team 3 times. Penn State's already beat them twice. Indiana's coming into this on 4-game win streak, feeling pretty good about themselves. Mike Woodson's coming back. Galloway's coming back. Anthony Leo's coming back. That's all we know so far.
Is Galloway playing? I know there was let's see here. Oh, not Fowler. I know there was I think he got hurt their last game.
Yes.
But there was rumors he was going to be out. I'm trying to think if I can see anything on Twitter.
Yes.
He was I saw there was a tweet a 30 minutes ago, no sign of Trey Galloway for Indiana warmups again. So
okay.
I think Penn State. Yeah. Sorry.
Then tomorrow, Michigan State, Purdue. Purdue is actually 6.5 point favorites. I think I said 5.5 earlier. So the lines already jumped a whole point. That's noon on the Big Ten Network. Soon we're both taking the Boilers.
Purdue 78-70.
All right. I think Purdue has a good offensive day tomorrow. I'm going to go Purdue 82, Michigan State 72.
Okay.
My MVP is going to be, excluding Zach, because Zach's going to have a heyday. I'm going with Mason Gillis.
Love it. Which his podcast with Boiler Ball just came out today, I think.
Oh, really, I'll listen to that. Who's your MVP tomorrow?
Lance Jones.
I like it. I like it. Wisconsin or Northwestern, 2:30 tomorrow on Big Ten Network.
Let's see here. I'm gonna take
Northwestern. Ray's taking the Boilers 86-72. Webby's taking Northwestern. I'm gonna agree with you. I think Northwestern finds a way to get down. A very close game. I think this will be a good one. Red hot Ohio State against the 2-seeded Illinois Fighting Illini.
I'm going to take Illinois, but I think this is a one-possession game.
Ooh.
I think Illinois is sweating this one out.
I'm going to take Illinois as well. I think they're a little too talented, but, man, on my other podcasts I do, I almost want Ohio State to put them in a championship. So I honestly could see it. And even if they get the championship, I think they're in a tournament. No matter if they win or lose.
Yeah.
Oh, of course, they win. They're in. Yeah. But, and then maybe Dealer gets the job. I don't know.
God.
yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know. They probably don't want to fall in the Mike Davis trap either.
Right.
You know, try to get in that situation. And then you have Indiana. Well, we both assume Indiana is going to beat Penn State. So that'd be Indiana against
Nebraska.
It's Nebraska. Yeah. Nebraska
tomorrow. I'll take the Cornhuskers in a pretty close game.
Yep. I will as well. So, and then we both have Purdue against Northwestern. It's going to be another overtime game.
Absolutely. take Boilers in a close one.
I think Boilers win that one pretty comfortably this time around without Barry.
That's right. It's not time Barry. I forgot about that.
I think that even though Boo Booey's a Purdue killer, I think Barry being out kind of makes a difference there. And then we have Illinois against Nebraska.
Illinois.
I'll take Cornhuskers to switch up because I want to try to get revenge on those guys. Yeah. So, and then I'll have Purdue getting revenge over Nebraska and winning their third Big Ten tournament title in school history back-to-back years. Do you have the Boilers beating the Illini for the third straight time?
I do.
Underwood's favorite. Or not third straight. Third straight this season. It would be more than three straight. Yes. I'm sure that's what CBS wants.
Yes.
Is Purdue and Illinois as the last game right before selection show. So, got to think no matter what happens, Purdue's one seed in the Midwest. Yep. And I could really care less if they're one seed overall. I know that means a lot to a lot of people, but there's really no advantage to being the one seed overall.
Yeah, I like Purdue got, I think you have a nice break in the first in terms of like how the other one seeds kind of fared. The fact that, you know, every single other one seed like has a regional preference outside the Midwest, maybe outside of Tennessee, maybe. I don't know.
If they're one
for the South, if they're a one. But I mean, obviously you got UConn out east,
Houston.
Houston South. So you've got those. And then obviously your fourth might be Arizona, who wants the West. North Carolina, who obviously they prefer the East, but they'll take whatever they can get. Definitely got a, it's worked out to where it's kind of like, I feel like it's kind of been wrapped up for a while. Falter down the stretch. So Indy-Detroit, if you can make it.
Yep. Indy-Detroit, if you can make it. The both regions are Friday, Sunday regions. Of course, we don't know what time, but it would be Gainbridge and then Little Caesars. I feel like it would be fitting for Purdue to have to go through Detroit to get to the Final Four because Isaac Haas injury against Cal State Fullerton. And before then, back in 88, Mitch Richmond against the Three Amigos. Two things are what-ifs in Boilermaker history both happened in Detroit. So I feel like for Purdue finally to get the monkey off their back, they have to go through Detroit.
And Jaden Ivey just fitting. Detroit, who's a part of this class.
Jaden Ivey, see? It's all coming together. It's all coming together. But earlier in the podcast, we mentioned that our third and newest sponsor of the podcast for March Madness is Autograph. And Autograph has an awesome deal going on this Tuesday. It's for Boiler fans that are hoping to maybe get tickets for the first round games or the round of 68 first round games. Tickets for the Madness keep going up each year. We've seen that sports in general, ticket prices, concert ticket prices, everything right now. Ticket prices are the fees are increasing.
Stupid.
Autograph is doing true fan pricing. $16 tickets to the round of 68 is dropping Tuesday in the free Autograph app. So get familiar with the app before the drop. Use discount code BREAK, BREAK, all lowercase. Go to the App Store, download it now. Use that code so we get the referral. And enjoy listening to Purdue podcasts and reading Purdue content, you will not be disappointed.
Yeah, if there's anything out there that grinds my gears is ticket prices. It's really tough to buying concert tickets because I mean Ticketmaster has a monopoly on the industry, especially if you're going to any well named artist. Yep. So being able to and then you see a ticket price like, oh, it's you know, 30, 40 bucks, awesome. Then you go check out, it's $17 in fees. It's like,
it's ridiculous,
it's
man.
So dumb. It's so dumb. So, yeah, the shout out to Autograph for throwing a wrench and everything.
Yes, I am. I think people in this podcast know, and I'm not ashamed of it. I don't care. I'm a big pro wrestling fan, and I got tickets to go to a show next month. And I spent way more than I spent last year going to the show in the same venue. And the fees on top of it, the fees, $20 on Ticketmaster. I'm like, come on. Like, I'm already spending a good amount. But I know we're kind of going down a rabbit hole here, but as a big time concert goer yourself and a guy who buys a lot of tickets, are you a pre-sale guy? Or are you a wait till general public, or does it depend? Does it depend?
It depends. On the artist. Usually, I try and get pre-sale if I can, just cause usually it's a little bit easier, I feel like, right. Cause like with the day that, you know, especially if it's a big show, the day that those tickets go on sale, it can be, pretty hectic and very stressful.
Yep.
So I try and do the pre-sale if I absolutely can.
Yep. So yes, if you're listening, go download Autograph app. It's free on the App Store. And if you're watching, go ahead and just put up your phone to the screen right here on the QR code. Leads right to it as well. So
Very easy app to use. It's awesome. Our promo code, it automatically loads you into the Purdue fan base. So I don't have to go back, you don't have to go through and find it.
Yep. And we've had a great audience of live viewers tonight. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Please, if you haven't already, like us on Facebook, follow us on X, follow us on Instagram, at Boiler Break Pods, our handle on there, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. We go live on YouTube, Facebook, and X every recording we do. And if you're listening to this at a later time, please make sure you're subscribed on your favorite audio podcast platform and give us a rating and review on there as well. And it's that season where basketball games are at different times throughout the day. It's March Madness. And what a better time for March Madness than to also have some great food. And that's what this next partner of our podcast brings. That's Mad Mushroom. The Boiler Breakdown is brought to you by Mad Mushroom. Mad Mushroom has been serving Boilermakers since 1993, located in the heart of West Lafayette. And they're known as the home of the original cheese sticks. But whenever Webby, myself, or Andrew visit, we like to sit down and have an ice cold beer while trying out the latest pizza of the month, which for the month of March is the Chicken Caprese Pizza. It's a blended tomato sauce, chicken, chopped garlic, fresh spinach, grated Parmesan cheese, mozzarella cheese, and fresh mozzarella pearls, finished with basil and balsamic glaze drizzle, starting at $14. So next time you're in town, stop in and tell them the Boiler Breakdown sent you for $5 off any order over $20. And any Boiler Breakdown listener or viewer can use the coupon code BREAK5. That's in all caps, BREAK5, for $5 off any order over $20 online at madmushroom.com. That is Mad Mushroom. Feed your head. And we appreciate their support all year long and for the last few seasons. And we hope to be doing that read well into April this year.
Yes, sir.
And the last sponsor of this podcast that helps make this podcast possible is The Shop. And Evan's going to tell you a little more about them.
Yeah, The Shop's been bringing hometown apparel to everybody since 2011. Started out in garages. Now they've got 3 retail locations in the Indianapolis area. You've got downtown Indy, you've got Carmel, you've got Broad Ripple. They just released their new drop for the Indy 500. That's usually this is the busiest time of year for them. They do a ton with Indy 500. They're incredible shirts, incredible designs. They actually made the shirts for the Horizon League Championship, which is awesome. Yeah,
they look great.
They're really cool. Whether you're a Hoosier, Boilermaker, Bulldog, Tiger, Sycamore, you know, they've Cardinal. Got something for you. Cardinal, Pacer fan, Indianapolis football fan, as they put it on their shirts. I don't know if they have actual rights yet. They've got something for you. I mean, I bought something for when the All-Star game came to Indy. Absolutely loved it. But yeah, they're good people. You know, it's all about the state of Indiana, whether it's, you know, pop culture or your favorite sports team, university, they've got something for you, whether it's a t-shirt, hat, drinkware, sticker, they've got it for you. And they're awesome people. We're glad to have them on again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We are. We thank all 3 sponsors, Autograph, Mad Mushroom, and The Shop, for making this show tonight possible. So, all right, Webby, any closing thoughts as we wrap up tonight's pod?
It's my favorite and also kind of least favorite time of year, just because I know it's the season's coming to an end, especially after a fun basketball season. I mean, the senior class has been so much fun to watch and cheer for, really easy to cheer for, which is the awesome thing. Great culture, guys, just great players, great humans. I hope the good guys come through in the end or celebrating confetti come early April.
Yes, absolutely. Let's boiler up, hammer down, beat the Spartans, then neither the Wildcats or the Badgers, then either the Illini, Buckeyes, Nittany Lions, Hoosiers, or Cornhuskers.
There you go.
I think I got everybody there.
Boilers versus everybody.
Yes. Amen. Boiler up, hammer down.
Boiler up.